Praise the Lord, church. Amen. This evening, let's... our God is good. Amen. It's good to see you this evening. I hope our week has been wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to thank God and thank the pastorate for opportunities such as this. It's a blessing and we rejoice in it. Glory be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word says that the entrance to your word gives light to the simple. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Take these lips of clay and speak to us. Teach us your word tonight. Our hearts are ready. Our hearts are set and open, and we are receptive to your word, and we run with that which we hear, and our lives are better for it. To the glory of your name, Lord, for in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, we'll be looking at God's word. We'll be looking at God's word. What we'll be looking at is just beyond words, beyond words. We want to go scriptural. You know, several times what we'll see, we want to study, we want to look at what the life of a believer is meant to be like. So we're looking at, we could call it the believer's authority. The believer's authority. You know, most times what we see happen is we use words. It's not difficult to use words. We are quick to say, I reject it in Jesus' name. I reject it in Jesus' name. No, it's not my portion. You know, people just use words. But when you ask them where it is in the Bible, we don't know. And it's not proper. That's not how to. It's like going to the battlefront. They say, where are you going? You say, I'm going to fight a battle. Say, and you don't look like somebody that's going to fight. You are wearing it. Sportswear, like somebody that's going to stadium to jog, and you say you're going to fight. You're not ready. Hallelujah. Or you spoot with Agbada and you say you're going to fight. You're never ready. You Agbada say you go fight. You're never ready. Hallelujah. When you say there's war, yes. You remember what happened just 2-3 years ago when the youth, everybody took to the streets and say, hey, we no go agree. When you see them, you know that they're not going to agree to true. Because everybody came out prepared, very ready. That's what we're talking about. So, beyond just words, we go scriptural when we're talking about the believer's authority. Because from the minute we get scriptural, things begin to happen. From the moment we go scriptural, things begin to happen. Because God honors his word. Hallelujah. He honors his word. He said in the scriptures, he says, for he honors his word above his name, as mighty as the name. We all talk about the name. We all know how powerful the name is. But as powerful as the name, he said, for I honor my word above my name. Hallelujah. He will not joke with his word. He said, his word will never fall to the ground without fulfilling the purpose for which it is sent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God honors his word. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, la mahanda vagadisha. Ephesians 1. From verse 16 to verse 20. Hallelujah. I'll be using the New King James. It said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul speaking. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I think Sister Remy read something like this when we were praying. Hallelujah. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 18. that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. Wisdom, revelation be given us, be given you, that your understanding being enlightened, so that you begin to understand, you begin to know. Hallelujah. So we don't just do things because we want to do them or because the world thinks it's this way. There is a reason behind it. There is a reason behind it. And it's embedded in his word. And because we do, we act, we carry to the letter everything that is written in here, we get answers, we get results. Hallelujah. Let's continue. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Hallelujah. Towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. According to the working of his mighty power, the believer's authority. It's so powerful. It's so powerful, but it's not something we just talk about, we just quote from the head. It's something we quote from the word of God. It's like giving his word back to him, and he sees it, he knows his word, he honors it. Hallelujah. This is beyond just saying, Satan, don't fall for Golgotha. Masha, masha, you don't match nothing. If you don't stand with the word and put him where he belongs, you are just playing. You are just playing. Beyond words, go scriptural. Hallelujah. The believer's authority. Amen. I would like us to examine what the word authority means. Praise God. The word authority. Yeah. What I see is the power to give orders. The power to give orders. Hallelujah. Or make decisions. Praise God. The power or right to direct or control someone or something. So you can give control to the devil and say, flee. In the name of Jesus, according to the word of God, you stand on the word of God. You know that there's a word of God that says, okay, let me not even go far. Mark 11, what did he say? Mark 11, 22 and 23. He said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the... So when you're going to approach the devil, when let's say there's a situation, you know, you're not seeing the devil physically, but there's a situation. What's the situation? Maybe something is wrong with you, or you're sick in your body, or something is happening and you don't like this situation. It's not palatable. What do? You say, according to the word of God in the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, that if I say to this mountain, if I say to this problem, if I say to this situation, if I say to this sickness, if I say to this issue, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, that you will obey. Amen. Remember the Bible says that he has given unto us authority. He has given us dominion. What is authority? Ability to give orders. The power to give orders. So if I'm a policeman now, or I'm a military man and I'm wearing my uniform, like Setman described the other time, if I stand on the road, I may not be the traffic officer, but because of my uniform, there's an authority that is embedded on that uniform. So if I stand there and I just do my hand like this, any car coming will stop. It will halt. That's order. That's authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you understand what you carry, you have that same capacity. Because you may not be wearing a physical uniform, but you are wearing a uniform on your inside. What's that uniform? Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus became sin, that we will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And God has pronounced us as his sons and daughters. Hallelujah. So by virtue of that, he has placed us in a place. Don't forget also what Jesus said. He said, greater things, when they marvel at the things that he did, he said, greater things you will do. Greater things you will do. Hallelujah. So, if you are not acting in your capacity of the authority given you, You're just cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. Hallelujah. You know, okay, let's see Ephesians also. Let's see Ephesians. What the book of Ephesians says. And I'll beg every one of us to, okay, what we read here is just, it's Ephesians 1, right? Ephesians, okay, sorry. Yes, Ephesians 1, 16 to 20, that's what we read. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. I'll want every one of us to take this as an assignment. Please, do it. You see, there's so much Paul taught about the believer's authority. Read the book of Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, especially chapter 1 and chapter 3. Read the whole of it. Read the whole of it. You will see what God has said concerning you. So that's you. Though you will see that he's talking to the book, to the church in Ephesus, but he's talking to us also. Hallelujah. Let me paint this scenario. There was a time in our family that we had a lot of people living with us, cousins, relatives, even those that are not related. We call them family. So they lived with us. There are times that my mother wants to give stern warning. Stern warning. And she will stare at us. Maybe she'll stare at me. She'll stare at me and be giving the one and say, I am telling you, and this goes for the rest of you. You know what that means? Even without her saying, and this goes for the rest of you. No one in this house should touch this cup. Only so and so, only me. This is my cup. Nobody should use this cup. Who do you think she's talking to? Only me? No, they're not born anybody else. Make you touch that cup. Everyone knows that she loves me so much in there. So for her to be one, she will not draw my ear and say, if anybody touched it. And I mean now you're talking and you say anybody. So what does that mean? She's passing the message across to everybody. Touch that cup. There you know. Hallelujah. So when you see there in chapter 1 and chapter 3, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, but he's directing it to us. Like my mother talking to everybody in the house, but he's calling me. And when my mother gets to that point where he doesn't call you divine, he calls you ogenewairi. When he calls your native name, you know what that means? It means listen double, because this instruction, I will not repeat it again. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14 to 19. Hallelujah. From verse 14, it says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Hallelujah. Where are you? Where are we now? Earth. Amen. So you are not exempted from this. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Sometimes people don't understand. This is the same reason why, where we read earlier, talked about that he will open our eyes, that he talked about wisdom, he talked about understanding, he talked about our eyes being enlightened in the knowledge of him. So if your eyes is not enlightened, if you are not operating in knowledge, if you are not operating in wisdom, then what are you? Foolish. What's the opposite? It's not me that said it, it's the Bible. So if you are not operating in the light, you are in darkness, right? If you are not operating in the wisdom and in the knowledge and in the understanding, so that means opposite of that is what? It's foolishness. Amen. Do you see the reason why he said we should not walk as the foolish people of the world as they do, that we should follow the path Christ has laid for us so that we will be seen as the light of God, as people who have been with him and are enlightened truly. Hallelujah. His word said it, not me. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. This same place, let me hold on here and explain this. It's the same reason why many people, just as I talked about wisdom and foolishness, or wisdom or and lack of it. Okay? That's how you have, Jesus has paid, he took away our sins, not our brains, but people still act like their brains were removed along with their sins. So when you see them act, you see them do all manner of foolish things. The same reason you have some people who are living in abject poverty, not because They are meant to live like that, but because they lack appropriate understanding, because they lack understanding, because they lack understanding, they are ignorant of the things given them by the word. Hallelujah. Back in the days when we were very, very young, I remember very well in 1983, thereabout, yes, 1983. I remember very well that all you will see are pastors. Pastors, because then we had Deeper Life. Deeper Life just came to town there. Deeper Life was in our compound. And then you see pastors, the best of car you ever see them drive, if they are not using Legedis Benz. You know Legedis Benz, when you are trekking, Slabber Queen. If they are not using Legedis Benz, then you see the best they use is Beatles. How many of us know Beatles? We used to call it tortoise car. Beatles. That's what we're Volkswagen. So that's what we're using. That's the best. That's the best. And then all you see, they say, vanity upon vanity is vanity. We are not, you know, and all that. So when I started working at Bagada, and you know, they have the headquarters of the same ministry there. Guess what happened? I used to go there when I was young. They used to put me in the car to come for retreat and all that, those days. And then I saw some of them even come to my office to do transactions. And I saw them with Jeep. I mean, not just Jeep, high Jeep, as in Jeep has class. I saw them with heavy, heavy Jeep. And I'm like, is this the same people that were used to? I remember I used to be very angry with them because at a time they made my mother throw away our TV in our house. It's in a vanity. My mom just carried our TV, go throw for soccer away, Pete. I said, eh? So I won't watch all this interesting this again because of. So I had them somewhere in my mind. I was having their bad belly. I said, these people, don't worry. So when I started seeing them, I was blasting them. I said, sit down. And I saw them. They use all manner of sophisticated phones, see their cars, and I see their big screen. Call, ah! I tell the man, I say, you sure say you got heaven with this thing? He said, ah, yes, now. If I, one of them came to our house, I was now watching film. She was just watching, and enjoying the movie. Until he got to the point where they were kissing, say, hey, this is why our church said they should not be watching TV. I said, but you've been watching the entire film since. He reached the one that kissed. You want to condemn this television now because of this television that I took my prayer and deliverance from my mother to have allow us to have another one in this house. You people have come again. Amen. What am I trying to say? It's the same reason why you have some people saying that, no. We are trust and not we are trust. We are here, not we are here and all that. Ignorance will blindfold you and make you stay in the dark when you should be enjoying the fullness of God. That's what he's talking about here. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Hallelujah. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. He's talking about strength here, yes, but it's not only strength. He also said that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He also said that Christ became poor that you will be rich. Hallelujah. He became sin that you will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How come we picked only one and leave the other one? Just a sidewalk to this. You know, Lazarus was very poor, yeah. I remember vividly that the book of Luke, chapter 16, talked about the rich man and Lazarus. You know what shocked me? Go read it. You hear, you read that it says, and there's this striking part that says, desiring to be. So it was his desire that kept him there. Desiring, hallelujah. May God help us in Jesus' name. Your desires can keep you where you're not supposed to be, despite the knowledge embedded in the Word of God. That's why you should study the Word of God all the time. And that's why, thank God, we have it electronically in our phones. Eat the Word. Eat it all the time because it will help you to know what is your place, what is entitled to you, what is your right, what you should do, what you shouldn't. The believer's authority. Beyond words. Go scriptural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Lazarus lived and died as a beggar because that was his desire. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The rich man did not even know God. But that didn't stop him from being rich. So you can know God and be ignorant of the word of God concerning you and your entitlement and everything, and you die poor. and die sick. And die, when you even enter heaven, they'll give you one small cubicle like. He was still a slave even in heaven. You know how I knew? The rich man sent a message. The rich man wanted to send a message. He said that Abraham, Father Abraham, let me show you so we'll see it. Go to the book of Luke. May we not be ignorant of what is our entitlement. Amen. Luke 16. Look at 24. Okay, first. Let's see, 19. Let me just show you something quickly. 19, he said, there was a certain rich man who was clothed with in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dust came and licked the sores and blah, blah, blah. Look at 24. Then he cried and said, okay, you know, because 23 talked about, 22 and 23 talked about Lazarus died and went to heaven. The rich man also died and went to hell, right? So now 24 said, then he cried. Who was crying? The rich man. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, messenger, beggar on earth, beggar in heaven. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Messenger, up and down. Now only you. Then they clean everywhere. They do everything because that's your desire. For I am tormented in this flame. After Abraham told him that, no, there's a big disparity between you and Lazarus. Lazarus is here now and blah, 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 and all that. Look at 26 again. He said, and besides all this, between us and you, okay, 27, then he said, who said again? The rich man again. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him, who? Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brothers. So you just see some people, poverty just feed their life. You see some people, beggarly attitude just feed their life. You see some people, sickness, everything. Why? Because of a lack of the knowledge that they should have, what they should run with. Studying, that's why it's good we study, we eat God's word, so that we know and take our rightful place. Amen. Even on earth, yeah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he has blessed us with all blessings. You know what that means? He didn't leave anyone out. He didn't say he has blessed us with some. He said he has blessed us with all blessings. So, if there is the one that you don't have, now you, they dare. Somebody will come out and say, there's no money in Nigeria. Nigeria is an ina you de dia. You're on your own. Because there's no money. People are buying cars every day. There's no money. People are building houses every day. Hello? Uh-huh. So now you're on your own. So everybody is sick. Everybody is not sick. You are the one that is sick. And there's the medicine. See the tablet here. He said, if you say to this mountain, be that removed, Mark 11, be that removed and be cast into the sea, you will have what you say. If you do not entertain an iota of that, you will have exactly what you say. What that tells me also is that if I say that, Lord, I am blessed beyond measure, my hands are blessed, the work of my hand is blessed, not that you are praying that money should drop, for money doesn't fall from heaven, no. They don't use the kind of money you're talking about, gold, and you don't use it here. So it won't give you money falling like rain or falling into your phone, like all those, no. He will bless the work of your hand. So find something to do and he will bless it. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go back to Ephesians, right? Yes, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Where did we stop? Okay. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. Okay. Okay, that will be strengthened, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I thought knowledge was the highest. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So knowledge is good in its own. Knowledge is good. Because it enlightens you. It makes you know your right from your left. It makes you know what to do. My mom used to blast people. If my mom yabbed you those days, you would cry. My mom, so one guy used to be very, very so full of himself. And he didn't go to school. My mom told him, my mom said, just one word. My mom would just tell you small thing like this. You almost go and hang yourself. My mom said, all this one, when you feel big, they carry your shoulder up like waiting, they push shoulder apart. If they write death waiting here now, you know, go see and you go walk up past, you go enter. The guy did not come out for 1 week. He went to think about his life. Very arrogant. My mom tell him, say, if na mechanic, go and learn. If na electrician, go and learn. You don't want to do anything. Like people who hang, who put their hopes on political money. He spends more than the average person who works. He doesn't have a job. My mom say, with your illiteracy, they write, put your name here in capital letter that they are looking for you to kill. You won't even know you work enter. Guy didn't come out for 1 week. And that's how some people are. They see dangerous points. They don't know. They walk in. Why? Because they are ignorant about what the word of God says. The Bible says that this word lightens your path. It brings light to your path so that your steps are ordered. Even Jesus said that, you will not even dash your foot against the stone. First, yes, I know he gives his angels charge over you, but if you don't know the word, then you are in trouble. Because even the devil came to Jesus, who is the word. But because he knows the word, he used the word. It's not the time you can say, hey, devil, you don't know my swag. You don't know who I be. No, not be that. We'll give you both that. You need to know the word. It's when you speak the word, he obeys. He takes off. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Like I said, let's study the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and chapter 3, the whole of it. Look at what Ephesians 1:3 says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, you would want to say, yes, even that word, spiritual blessing. I think American Standard Version says, that word, all spiritual blessing, also mean every spiritual blessing. That's what all is every. Hallelujah. Every spiritual blessing. And what it means is that every spiritual blessing, they belong to us. Do you understand? Every spiritual blessing belongs to us. So what is authority? Authority belongs to us. And if you don't know it, you won't be able to utilize, enjoy, benefit from it. So it's like the story of the woman who they said, this lady was a house help to this very rich woman. The woman died, gave the house help before she passed on. She gave the house help a check. So let's put a figure to it. Let's say she gave the house help a check of $20 million. And house help, hey, you know, sometimes we rejoice over some things. Some people come to church and then you hear, Nabi said, hey, Chris, now praise are the, it's beyond words. It's beyond words. So she laminated, she framed it, framed the check and put on the wall. So anytime she wants to eat, put the table there and then she will eat. She's looking at the check, hey, and she's feeling good. Nabi said, hey, Chris. Now praise her, they praise. So she's always feeling good when she sees the check. But guess what? She was living in abject poverty, not eating well, not enjoying life in its fullness. Check is there. Check is there. Like Jesus gave us that promise. And because of that, people have led a lot of people astray. How? Do you know part of the spiritual, all blessings he's talking about, all spiritual blessings, salvation is there. Salvation is for the sinners. Salvation is for the sinners. Authority, spiritual authority, is for the believers. So you go to a sinner, you tell the sinner that the person is already a sinner. Then you're telling that God is counting all his sins against him and blah, 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 blah. You are misleading the person. Let the person know that his sins have been paid for. He shouldn't live in sin anymore. His sins have been paid for. He's been bought with a price already because Jesus paid for him. Hallelujah. And point of correction, God is not counting anybody's sin against them because the price for their sin has been paid. Jesus died. He died. You won't talk for worry. You say, Abi, you won't undie him. He died already. It cannot be reversed. He died. He has paid the price. So let the person come into the knowledge of the fact that your all these sins, it has been paid for. You don't need it no more. But not that like one I'm hearing in my area early morning and it's just, it's a first person for Belen. You see, they say, you just see early morning, 4:30 a.m. That time when Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, you just hear the guy. Or there's one that lady also condemning everybody. Say, you are here, you are wearing wig, you are going to hell. You are wearing trousers, you're going to hell. She will just be condemning her. I say, this one has sent everybody already to hell. Is that the gospel? It's not the gospel. Jesus loves you. Your sins have been paid for. You don't need to wallow in it anymore. Come into that which has been made already for you. Your life is made sweet and beautiful. That is the gospel. And it's happening even in the body of Christ. Many people do not know what has been freely given them. And so they wallow in sin like their house help. Until someone, she was sick one time and almost dying. And someone told her and said, go to hospital now. She said, there's no money. The person said, what is this? He said, my madam gave me as a treasure. He said, so what are you doing with it? You don't know what this is. This is money. This is money. Ego, this is money. At the time she was taken to the bank and it was cashed and given to her, she almost fainted. Seeing the volume of what she's been wallowing in, not knowing that she has authority, she has power. Something of value that she can walk into any market, any supermarket, anywhere, and do shopping and still have change. Break it a full grand. She doesn't know. That's our people, kingdom people, kingdom believers, go about not knowing their rights. So they are sick. They come crying, Pastor, why? Pastor, why? Some even threaten. If you commit suicide, we'll wake you and flog you very well. Bring you back to life, flog you very well. Know what is your right. Amen. Amen. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we get ready to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is referring to what we should be telling people. Come, Christ has already paid. You don't need to stay there. You don't need to be in sin anymore. So never tell a sinner that God is mad with them and God is counting their sins. He's counting all the things you are doing. Oh, you wear trousers today. Oh, you wear and you go paint tomorrow, Abby. Ah, God is just your dossier don't fool. No, don't tell them that. God is not mad at anybody. He sent his beloved son to die for that person. So that's how precious the person is. When you tell the person from that angle, you make the person already want to give their life to Christ. I say, really? And the person want to come over and turn their ways to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, he said in John 8:32 that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, shall make you free. Amen. Also in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Not sinners, not the world. He said, my people, for God, my people. Who is he talking to? Believers. Where can we get the knowledge? Where can we get the truth of his word? It's here. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. So let's commit to studying God's word. Let's commit to reading the word all the time. We will begin to know more and more what is freely giving us, what is freely our right, what is our place. What is our place? Amen. While we're praying this evening, something struck my heart. And what was that? I mean, it may seem very, very insignificant, but I'll tell you why. I later understood why it came. There was this nudging in my say, turn around and look. And I turned and I look. I look at myself and I look at everybody. Do you know that couple of years ago, when we hold meeting in Magrelos, this is not how we dress to come to midweek service. Some of us even wear palm slippers and wear slippers and wear almost sneaker and all that and come to service. Hallelujah. How do we come to service now? We come to service like we are ready to even serve or ready to even present or do something. Why? It's knowledge. If you know better, you will do better. So if people know better, they will do better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So the things we used to do, like adasekali anyhow, we don't anymore. Why? Knowledge. Knowledge. So never you condemn anybody and say, you are just doing anyhow. You are taking the grace of God for granted. If God, you are not God's monitor. He didn't send you a message. Don't be fighting God's fight. But talk to them. Talk to people with love. Making them understand their place. And then you see them, they will just get to know better and begin to do better. Hallelujah. And that's why one of the most marvelous testimony I share all the time is that my life is made better, not because of my parents. No. But even in the household of God, the figures that are still before me, the leaders that are still before me, their lifestyle and everything and conduct has helped transform me into what I see, and I'm loving it and I'm growing. And the same with everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just bow down our heads. And let's talk to him. Let's thank him for the privilege we have. Getting to know our rightful place in him. Believer's authority. Beyond words. Beyond words. Believer's authority. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the knowledge. Thank you for making me know what is my place. What I have. My ability to give others. My ability to give others, my ability to stand on the right word, the word of truth, my ability to stand and give others, and even the devil obeys, even sickness obey. Yes, my ability to understand that sin has no right, no power over my body, sickness has no power over my body. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you. Thank you for the knowledge of your word. Thank you for the knowledge of your word. Thank you for the knowledge of your word. Thank you because you honor your word each time. Lord, thank you because tonight I've learned to use your word. When I pray, when I talk, when I do things, I use your word. I use your word and I'm growing. I'm growing. I exercise my right in Christ. I use your word because you honor your word. I use your word because you honor your word. If I have lack, I'll use your word. Yes, when I command sicknesses, I'll use your word. I stick to the word and I study the word. I eat it more and I grow thereby. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Leave Ramahan of Rabadish Adados. In the Vreme Kabadados, Sotin Amanda Vrededosharia. Ola Manda Vrata Pokamandi Vedidis Adadosha. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.